Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, Lauren Ella of the High Desert here. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's currently November 8th, 2015, 10:30 p.m. Lauren Ella of the High Desert is brought to you by Grow with Lauren Ella, as well as Lauren Ella Online Marketing. That's my personal online marketing services. That's what I do professionally. It's what keeps this broadcast going, and it's what keeps Lauren Ella of the High Desert.com going. I offer all kinds of services relating to online marketing, whether it's email, outreach, social media, setup or development, as well as virtual assistant tasks, SEO, online advertising, whatever it is, I'm able to help and assist in doing those things. And so this is great service for startup businesses who are looking to experiment, looking to try something new to reach their audience. If you would like to know more about my services, and I encourage you to contact me, you can contact me through growwithlaurenell.com, and all of the contact information is on that website. Lauren Ella of the High Desert is accepting sponsorship as well as advertising. I offer a lot of opportunities for advertisement and sponsorship and really promoting your business, your service, or whatever it is that you want to do. And, you know, I'm such a fluid person and a really dynamic form of media that I can do a lot for you. It's not just simply advertising to me. It's communication. It's getting a message across. And it helps Lauren Ella of the High Desert continue. So you can go to laurenellofthehighdesert.com to learn more about that. And really quickly, I want to give a big thank you to B&L Transmissions, located in Cathedral City, California. They are sponsoring laurenellofthehighdesert.com, and I really appreciate that. It's a lot of help for me, and again, helps keep this great form of media going for the Morongo Basin, and even beyond the Morongo Basin, I actually keep up with the visitors to my website. And I was looking at the top visitors over the past year who have come to laurenellofthehighdesert.com, and Yucca Valley ranks number one. I have the most visitors coming from Yucca Valley. I have a lot of visitors coming from Palm Springs as well. But I had cities even beyond that. I had Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco were some of the top cities. I don't have the exact list in front of me, but there are a lot of visitors coming to the website from far beyond the Morongo Basin. So that's something else I want to emphasize for those of you who are looking to get your name out there with whatever you do, is that the exposure of Lauren L of thehighdesert.com is really growing. So that's really exciting. I have an announcement about the website. I'm adding an online store to laurenellofthehighdesert.com, and I'm really excited about this. I was approached by an author who asked me to review her book, which was really nice of her to do so. And I was thinking of how can I help her reach a larger audience. That's why she's asking me to review her book in the first place, is so that she can gain more of an audience. And so I was thinking, how can I integrate her product and other products from artists, authors, musicians in the area on my website to increase their sales, their exposure. And so I decided that I would open an online store on my website, and I'm looking for anyone who's interested. I'm not charging a fee to put on my website, and it should be a simple process. So if you're interested, please contact me. You can go to laurenellofthehighdesert.com or email laurenellhighdesert@gmail.com. If you know of anyone who would be possibly interested in this, then contact me as well. Again, I'm offering extra opportunities as well for exposure, as such as a blog to feature you and your work, or to put in an advertisement or some kind of graphic about you on the sidebar on my page. So I'm really excited about the opportunities here at laurenellofthehighdesert.com when it comes to commerce in the near future, especially with the holidays around the corner. This will be a lot of fun. That's all I have about my own personal advancements with laurenellofthehighdesert.com. So I'm going to kick the show off with a piece of history. This is coming from a book from the Morongo Basin Historical Society, as well as the 29 Palms Historical Society. It is the 100-year project from 1910 to 2010. And this article is coming from the year 1942. The title is Frank Kritzer Killed Under Giant Rock. Here's what the article reads. Early in World War II, the United States raised the maximum draft age to 64 in what is known as the Fourth Draft or Old Man's Draft. Frank Kritzer, a U.S. citizen of German ancestry living under Giant Rock, was 54. On July 24, 1942, three sheriff's deputies from Riverside County offered to drive him to Banning to register for the draft. When Frank refused, the deputies said they had to take him in. Before leaving, Frank told the deputies he had to go to the bathroom. According to police reports, he went into his bedroom to get his hat. He emerged holding a flashlight battery attached to a wire dangling from a binoculars. He held another wire running along the wall. When he said his piece, Frank then touched the wires together and caused an explosion. All three deputies survived. Two of them were blown away from the entrance. The third suffered critical injuries when a piece of Frank's vertebrae was propelled into his stomach. Kritzer did not survive and is buried in Victorville, California. That's a crazy story you don't hear every day. I wasn't aware that there was a fourth draft or an old man's draft where a person who was 64 could be drafted. That's really old. Well, that must have been really unfortunate in that time. Interesting story. So that's why there's coal at the base of Giant Rock. I've seen it there before. I've never personally looked into that story before. Really interesting story this week. Moving on to events, I did get some emails in this week from local organizations. This is always a good thing, so I did update my calendar. You can go to laurenlofthehighdesert.com to see upcoming events in the area. I'm very selective of the events that I put on my calendar. It must relate to community activity, specifically infrastructure, safety-related issues such as that, as well as environmental conservation, environmental effort, and development, any kind of development, really. So I don't cover any kind of event. But I did get some events again. And so on November 9th, there's going to be El Nino Public Outreach Meeting, November 9th, that's Monday, starting at 5:30 p.m., and this will be taking place at the Yucca Valley Community Center. There will be county emergency services will discuss how they are preparing for flooding and mudslides that may result from unusually heavy rainfall predicted in coming months. Flood preparation materials will be offered. There is a website. You will have to go to laurenlofthehighdesert.com to access this website for more information about this public meeting. That should be really interesting because I know in the recent rains that have been here, there's been a lot of damage. And so that hasn't been good for the community. And there's a lot of concerns about El Nino coming up, a lot of talk. I've heard that there will be increased moisture. It will either be in the form of rain or snow. So hopefully we'll be seeing something like that. I know snow, a lot of people get excited about snow. Also on Monday, November 9th, there will be the November 2015 MAC meeting, which is always great to go to. You get to learn so much when you go to the MAC meeting. Residents show up that voice their concerns. There's always a really great speaker who shares information about pressing subjects. Last month, the speakers were, I forget the names of the exact groups, but it was about chromium 6 being in the water here. And so that's always great to know. I do not know of the speaker at this MAC meeting, but again, it will start at 6:30 at the Joshua Tree Community Center in Joshua Tree. On November 11th, there will be a Yucca Mesa Improvement Association board meeting. And I mention this because the YMIA, that's the short name for it, for the acronym for Yucca Mesa Improvement Association, which is also becoming known as the Yucca Mesa Community Center. I mention them because the Yucca Mesa Community Center has been such a popular location for events in the Morongo Basin, from hosting Transition Joshua Tree meetings to potlucks to Starry Night Festival. Whenever I hear about a local event, there's a good chance it's happening at the Yucca Mesa Community Center. And so there was an email recently sent out from the Yucca Mesa Community Center, or the Yucca Mesa Improvement Association, saying that they're in financial trouble. They are not gaining the members that they at one point had. So I just wanted to share. Again, there will be a board meeting November 11th, 5:30 in Yucca Mesa. And please go to learn more about them, to help with whatever they need assistance with. It's a wonderful location, ample parking space, and again, a lot of events have been taking place there. On November 12th through the 15th, the Palm Springs International Health and Fitness Festival is happening. I'm not going to read the detail on this, but again, visit my website to learn more, and it also says what the fees will be. That's all I have to report right now, but if you go to my calendar, you will see that there are upcoming events past November 12th. And really quick, I just want to throw in that I'm personally planning an event called DJ Kitten Cat's Dark Party. It will be taking place December 5th. It is a dance night, and this is really to celebrate my birthday and just have a great time. Just to say on a side note, I'm a huge music enthusiast. I love 80s music, dark 80s. Everything from Depeche Mode to Jane's Addiction to Susie and the Banshees. Some of you might know these names. And I've always had this dream party in my mind, so I decided to put it together. And I wanted to make it a fundraiser for the Beatnik Lounge in Joshua Tree, because I hosted one other event at the Beatnik Lounge, and Teddy was just so sweet in letting me use the facility. The Beatnik Lounge hosts so many wonderful events for the community. Gatherings take place there. I've been there multiple times over the past year, and I was there for the grand opening last year, and it's just been a really great time there. So my event will be a fundraiser for the Beatnik Lounge, and I'm really excited about that. It's free, but we're accepting donations, and it should be a lot of fun. December 5th, starting at 8 p.m., there will be music and good social time. Now I'm moving on to recent news. Today I actually attended an event in Yucca Valley. It was hosted by the permaculture group from Transition Joshua Tree, and it was a bottle brick making party. I had no idea what this was. I recently heard about it through the Transition Joshua Tree quarterly meeting. And so I looked further into it, and it turns out that what bottle bricks are plastic bottles that are stuffed with trash, such as plastic bags or paper or different forms of trash. And the bricks are, or the bottles are stuffed to the point where they become brick-like. They are, you know, difficult to bend. They are practically like bricks. And so the goal of the permaculture group is to make a cob bench out of these brick or bottle brick. And this is actually a movement happening across the U.S. and all over the world, are making cob fixtures using bottle bricks. And the goal of it is to find a way to use trash, because it is noted that a lot of trash ends up in landfills, ends up in the ocean, causes a lot of environmental devastation. And so a man, I don't know of his name, he found a way to start using trash to build structures like a bench using these bottle bricks. And it's a way to just get rid of trash, use them in something that we can use, a bench, something that's nice outside. So this permaculture group, they hosted a bottle brick making party. It was at a residential location in Yucca Valley, And so we went, there was a potluck. It was really, really nice. And the host was really sweet. They brought the attendees, the main people who put it together, had brought trash, plastic bottles, everything from drinking bottles to like water bottles to larger plastic bottles that you might buy at the store with juice and things like that. And they had also brought clean trash. That's what it's called, clean trash. So it's not dirty used trash. It's like plastic bags, things that, we can touch and work with. And so yeah, we were there for about 2 hours putting trash into these water bottles, and I think altogether there were probably 10 to 15 bottles that were made. And it was a lot of fun. It was great to bond with people, have a good time, and then they also showed videos that had the person behind the idea explain why he started making bottle bricks and what the story was behind it. They also played a video about sustainability events happening all over the United States. And so it was a really great gathering. I encourage you to look into Transition Joshua Tree and attend their meetings, because they do a lot of great events for the community where you can learn things, you can collaborate with people, and you also get to meet people. And that's one of the best things anywhere that you live, is being able to meet people, to start to find people who share similar interests as you. So Transition Joshua Tree is just a really dynamic group. They have groups about permaculture, water. They have a group that's all about just having positive gatherings and doing active things together. So go to transitionjoshuatree.org for more information about their meeting. Now I'm going to move on to local news in the area. It has been a relatively quiet week so far this week. I didn't get a lot of news updates or see much happening on Facebook. So I am getting into news coming from Z1077. I did see some articles that I thought would be interesting. One article I came across was published on November 5th, 2015, and the article title is High Desert Water Sets the Monthly Sewer Connection Rate. I've been covering the sewer event happening in Yucca Valley because I find it to be really interesting. I've gone to a number of meetings about the sewer infrastructure in Yucca Valley, and I've read a little bit about the history behind it. And it seems like it's something that could have totally been prevented if city officials and the public were just more knowledgeable or aware, or I guess in general, just cared about the issue. And so the sewer issue now is pressing in Yucca Valley. I've even spoken to people who have moved out of Yucca Valley because they don't want to deal with the sewer requirement. A lot of people are having to go off of a septic tank and hook up to a sewage system, and so people are just going to have to go with it. Some people, again, are relocating. So again, back to this article, High Desert Water Sets the Monthly Sewer Connection Rate. And here's what the article reads. The High Desert Water District Board set the monthly sewer connection charges at last night's meeting. Managing Editor Tammy Roloff, it is a little higher than had been anticipated due to state requirements attached to the low-interest loan received by the High Desert Water District. The Board of Directors set a monthly rate of $41.50 for its residential sewer connection fee at its Tuesday night meeting. The board had originally estimated the rate would be about $36. The charge will be added to residential property tax bills. Property owners will receive a notice of the current rate and have 45 days in which to comment, after which the board will hold a public hearing prior to being asked to approve the new rate. In other business, the directors agreed to increase the district's reserves of recharged water in the basin's aquifers by an additional 7 to 10 years. What I thought was interesting about this article is that there's 45 days to comment, and then there will be a public hearing about the monthly sewer connection rate that was determined, which was $41.50. I'm wondering how much public participation there will be at the meeting or to leave comment. $41.50. When I read that, personally, that doesn't seem too much off the top of my head, but I don't follow issues like this, so I don't know how it goes in other communities. I'm pretty sure other communities in California and the U.S. are having to face similar infrastructure development such as this. Interesting to know. Moving to another story that also relates to city infrastructure. And the story is published by Z1077 on November 5th, 2015. The article title is Joshua Basin Water Considers Chromium 6 26.8% Water Use Reduction. And here's what it reads. The Joshua Basin Water District Board met in a regular session last night. Reporter Mike Lipset says, the board considered chromium 6 mitigation and heard conservation figures are better. At last night's meeting of the Joshua Basin Water District, the board considered worst-case scenarios as far as financing chromium 6 mitigation efforts. The exercise was seen as quite useful, but also a requirement of some loan and grant applications. Also last night, the board reviewed for evaluating, prioritizing, and scoring district infrastructure as a run-up mainline replacement. Under conservation, Joshua Tree ratepayers have reduced water consumption 26.8% since the governor's drought emergency plan went into effect. At the last MAC meeting, again, the Municipal Advisory Committee meeting that takes place in Joshua Tree, there were speakers from organizations who commented on Chromium 6. These organizations work specifically with water, and it was mentioned that the Chromium 6 levels are low enough that there really isn't a huge concern, at least in terms of telling the public to purchase bottled water or other water source, go to other water sources. But it still is an issue of concern. There is testing going on to watch the levels of chromium 6. And also, I noted this in my last broadcast, was that Joshua Basin Water District has not met the 28% water reduction. It did temporarily, which this was somewhat comical to me. The last water board meeting I went to, hosted for the Joshua Basin Water District, there was an applaud by everybody because the Joshua Basin Water District water usage had been reduced by 28.5%, primarily from residential efforts and other water reduction efforts. So everyone was really happy, 28.5%. That was above the 28% reduction, but it fluctuates. So as this article reports, the consumption rate right now is 26.8%, which is lower than the 28% requirement. And it was noted that every day that the Joshua Basin Water District doesn't meet the reduction requirement, $10,000 must be paid, which is a lot. So it will be interesting to hear about how that goes. I came across a story that I thought some of you would like to hear about on Facebook. It's from kpbs.org, a San Diego-based media. The article was published on October 21st, 2015, and the title reads, Installing Solar Panels at City of San Diego Properties Could Save $22 Million. And I thought this article relates directly to what I cover, so I'm going to read this article to you. It's not incredibly long, but it covers a lot of issues of direct solar, rooftop solar, and installing solar in city boundaries. So here's what it says. A plan to install solar panels at 25 city-owned properties over the next 20 years received a tentative green light today from the San Diego City Council's Infrastructure Committee. A city staff report said that sites could be used for 9 rooftop solar systems and 19 parking lot canopy arrays. Among the proposed locations are 7 police stations, 4 libraries, the city administration building and surrounding structures, the Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center parking lot, and the Inspiration Point parking lot in Balboa Park. Under terms of the deal, which will now go before the full city council for approval, SunEdison Government Solutions, LLC, will install, operate, and own own and maintain the solar photovoltaic system over two decades. The city will buy the power supplied by the systems from Sun Edison, replacing electricity that otherwise would have been purchased from San Diego Gas and Electric. City officials estimated the cost of purchasing power for the 25 facilities from San Diego Gas and Electric over the next 20 years would be $48 million, compared to a $26 million price tag for the solar from Sun Edison. The total savings would be $22 million, ranging from a projected $500,000 in the first year of operation to more than $1.7 million annually by the end of the term, according to staff report. This is about using our infrastructure to its fullest potential and using community buildings to save our community money, Mayor Kevin Faulkner said at a news conference before the committee meeting. Libraries and recreation centers are hubs for community engagement, and now they will be hubs for green energy. Committee Chairman Mark Kersey said the savings projections are fairly conservative, with costs of traditional energy sources expected to climb in the future. Mario Sierra, director of the city's Environmental Service Department, said construction could begin around March or April next year and be completed by August. The project could become more ambitious in the future. City staff in the report said in the report that 40 of the municipal properties were identified as good candidates for solar systems. So congratulations to San Diego. That's really exciting to hear about their advancement with rooftop solar and using public facilities like libraries and their administration buildings. And again, they're also building the canopies over parking lots to install solar. Very, very cool for them. I haven't heard of any solar development, major solar development in terms of rooftop solar here in the Morongo Basin and the Morongo Unified School District went ahead with deciding on rooftop solar. That was about towards the beginning of the year of 2015 that the Morongo Basin Unified School District decided to go with rooftop solar. And so that was a really big win for the area. And they are putting solar over the parking lots in the Morongo Basin schools as well as on rooftops. But that is all that I've heard for rooftop solar here in the Morongo Basin, as well as for San Bernardino. That's all I have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I appreciate everyone's support. All of you have been really great with following Lauren L. of the High Desert on Facebook. If you haven't liked Lauren L. of the High Desert on Facebook, then please do so. You can go to laurenlofthehighdesert.com to find all of the social media links, Facebook, Twitter. I'm also on Instagram. I do post Instagram photos, so please connect with me there. And all of the support that you give, liking, sharing, commenting, is really great for building the reputation of Lauren L. of the High Desert and gaining or helping organizations really gain more exposure in the Morongo Basin and beyond. So much. I hope everyone has a great week, and go to laurenlofthehighdesert.com to connect.